From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Mrs. Anuradha Venkateshwaran. Anuradha was born in a family whose association with Swami goes back to over 50 years. She attended the Anandpur campus of Swami's university, where she was showered with his motherly love and blessed with memorable experiences that she cherishes very fondly to this day. After graduating and eventually moving to the United States, she became involved with young adults and teaching SSE. A mother of two teenage children, she works in the telecommunications industry and is actively involved in Sai activities in Atlanta. In this emotionally charged talk, she takes us through many experiences she has had with our beloved Bhagwan. This talk was delivered in the Ibel Theater in Santa Ana in California on the 19th of November 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, you'll be treated to some soulful Meera Bhajans by Bharat Ratna Srimati M.S. Subbulakshmi. And at 3:30 p.m, we will have the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And with that, over to Mrs. Anuradha Venkateshwaran.
Talli Tandri Guruvu Daivamu Bandhuvu Nive Sakhudavella Nive Sai Ni Padabjamulanu Nityammu Kolutumu Ni Padabjamulanu Nityammu Kolutumu Sai Rama Nide Sharanumaku Sai Rama Nide Sharanumaku. I offer my most humble salutations at the divine lotus feet of my beloved Bhagwan, who is my divine mother, father, my best friend, my closest relative, and my everything. Respected elders, brothers, sisters, dear children, Sai Ram, a very happy Ladies' Day to everyone, and a very happy birthday to the Swami and each one of us. It is such an honor to be here today. As I heard the girls chanting Vedas, I was transported back to Parthi 21 years ago, the very first Ladies' Day in 1995. In the days leading to the Ladies' Day, we were all so excited. Swami had made the public announcement. Something that we take so for granted today, it was a first in so many levels. That was the very first time the ladies got to lead the Veda chanting in the mandir. And Swami was escorted into the darshan grounds by women devotees. Bhajans were led by ladies on that day for the first time. And I still remember that afternoon in Purnachandra Auditorium, our Anandpur campus warden, Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath, before she began to translate Swami's discourse, she said, Swami's chair was right here. And she said, it is Swami's grace that we get to celebrate today as Ladies' Day. And she said, today I can say that God is with us women. There was pin drop silence. And then Swami looked and everybody clapped with a great applause. So truly Swami is with us women today and every day. In his discourse, very first Ladies' Day discourse, that day Swami talked, the theme of that discourse was how reputation is the most important thing for anyone, not just a woman, for anybody. Reputation is the most important thing that we should worry about. And he said titles like Padma Shri, Padma Vibhushan, that is not what we should clamor for. So titles like Dharma Patni, Ardangini, Illalu, these are the titles we should aim for. It was a holy Thursday evening when Uncle Rohan reached out and asked if I would be available to come and speak here. And my immediate thought was, you know, what an honor. And Swami has always told our students, you should ever be ready to speak or sing at my command. And there should not be any hesitation whatsoever. So I said yes. But just on the drive here, I was telling Aparna, what was I thinking? There were a few students who got many opportunities to perform burakathas in front of Swami. And once Swami was showering them with so much love, these boys just had tears of gratitude. And they said, Swami, you've given us so much. Do we even deserve this? I don't think we deserve this. And Swami said something that's something all of us should keep in mind. He said, Bangaru in Telugu, Bangaru ichinappudu teesukondi. Lenappudu ichinavanni chusi aanandinchandi. When I'm giving you these experiences, enjoy them. And when there comes a time when you don't have these experiences, when you don't experience these things with me, you recollect all of these experiences and derive bliss from there. That is precisely what I'm here to share today. Is it even possible to describe the glory of the God? You know, the Vedas declare, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. God is beyond the measure of words and the grasp of the mind. Yet, that is the only topic ever worth deliberating upon, isn't it? In his autobiography, Loving God, Professor Kasturi shares an interesting incident, and I remind myself of this every time I'm invited to speak or share experiences with Swami. As you all know, Kasturi uncle is a biographer of the Lord, right? He's written the Satyam Shivam Sundaram series, an extraordinary orator. He was invited to speak at several satsangs in several cities, and he was getting ready to take leave from Swami. And Swami said, you know, Kasturi, when they announce a speech by you, 30 people attend. When they announce a speech by you on me, 300 people attend. So looking at this audience, I am so humble. You are here for Swami. He is the hero. So I don't forget that for a second. Sant Kabir, Sufi poet, he sings, Sab dharti kagaz karun, lekhani sab vanarai. Sab dharti kagaz karun, lekhani sab vanarai. Saat samudra ki masi karun, guru gun likha na jai. Guru gun likha na jai. If the entire earth was to be turned into paper, and all the tall trees turned into writing pens, and the water from all the seven oceans was turned into ink, still you would not be able to completely describe the glories of the Lord. A devotee, very well-meaning, very earnest devotee, went to Swami and said, Swami, for the sake of posterity, we have to document all of your leelas, all of your miracles. And Swami smiled and said, Bangaru, that is not possible. For it is I, and I alone, that knows every single leela. Isn't it true? If we were to talk today after the program and share our experiences with each other, we'd be going into Swami's birthday, wouldn't we? And beyond. And he said, even if all of humanity joins together and does tapas or penance for thousands of years, you still wouldn't be able to grasp my divinity. I'll share a little bit about how our family came into Swami. As Sister April shared, my mother and my maternal grandparents, the family came to Swami in the early 1960s. And I still remember as a child hearing stories of my grandfather used to work in the Southern Railways. It was a very humble, lower middle class Tamil Iyer family, struggling to make ends meet with five girls and one son. But since my grandfather was in the railways, you know, the train journey, that was taken care of. But they couldn't afford any accommodation in Parthi. So they would stay under these trees. And my mother says, you may not believe, but they would carry a stove, even kerosene. Matchbox, they would carry all the groceries, everything to that detail. They would carry and camp under the trees and enjoy Swami's darshan. I grew up in the... I was born in 1975, and by then Parthi had, you know, it had a South Indian canteen, and slowly in the 80s we saw pizzerias crop up. There were burger joints, there was a bakery inside, there was a Western canteen, a North Indian canteen. These are all things we take for granted. But one thing that when I hear these experiences my mother shares is, when the comforts were at a minimum, Swami was so easily accessible. When all these comforts came, it felt like Swami was moving away from us, didn't it? Swami would visit Madras a lot in those years, and he would stay at the residence of Sri Venkatamuni and his wife, Mrs. Sushilamma. He would visit every month and spend several days in a row. So my grandfather and my mother and her siblings would go and visit Swami there. They would get opportunities to do rangoli, you know, the designs, the flower rangolis for Swami. They would get a lot of opportunities there. And when they were in Parthi, my mother observed a few ladies make these garlands out of tumbe flowers. I don't know if any of you have seen it. They are very tiny. These are white, beautiful white flowers, the size of your pinky nail. And they are so delicate that if you just keep it in your palm for a few seconds, it'll turn brown. And they have made life-size garlands for Swami with those flowers. And those were the days that Swami would take these garlands in the darshan line, wear it. And you know, the little portion that would hang, he would take that and throw it to devotees, some lucky devotees. So when Swami visited Madras, they had many opportunities to offer these garlands to him. And there were many miracles in the home, and there were so many manifestations of vibhuti, kumkum, sugar candy, nectar. And I'll share a few examples to show Swami's omnipresence and how he proved to them he was listening to every conversation, however simple, however day-to-day conversations, and he would respond. My grandmother was an avid follower of Rajarajeshwari, Amman, a form of the goddess. So as they were having a conversation in the family room, and in front of Swami's picture, a picture of Rajarajeshwari, kumkum was appearing from the picture. It was falling. And my grandmother made a comment. She said, "What is this color? It looks like color powder, like rangoli powder. You know, the kumkum that you offer to sumangalis, married women, it should be this color of arak, they call maroon. It should be mixed with haldi. It should have that nice rich color." Even before she could finish saying that sentence, the color of the kumkum changed. Just imagine, it's like watching the Niagara, the colors change from yellow to blue. And Swami was just proving, "I'm right here listening to your conversation and I'll respond to you right away." He was proving he was a Sarvantaryami. There was a beautiful statue of Shirdi Baba that was in the altar. And there was a chair kept for Swami in the family home altar. But this was a rickety old chair that they wanted to move out of the puja room. They wanted to bring it outside. So my mother and her sister, younger sister, were having a conversation. And they said, "We need to move that chair out. It's getting a little cramped here. We should move the chair out." Lo and behold, they go inside, and the statue that was seated on the floor is now nicely sitting on this chair, covered with a mound of vibhuti. Swami saying, "I want this chair here. I'm not going anywhere." And it was the Christmas of, I want to say it was 1966. My mother is visiting me now. She's now here with me in Chennai, in Atlanta. So I asked her, "Am I getting the years right?" She's not very sure, but it was somewhere in the mid-60s. So my mother had, she used to work in Madras Port Trust, and she had a couple of friends who were Christians. So she said Christmas was coming up and she wanted to have bhajans in the family home, and she wanted to invite these friends. Now bear in mind, this was before the Sarvadharma symbol even came out. You know, there were not even any Sarvadharma bhajans then, official Sarvadharma bhajans then. So she wanted to invite these friends, and when she told my grandfather, who's a very strict orthodox Tamil Ayar Brahmin who was doing Saligramam Puja in the house, he didn't bat an eyelid. He said, "Of course you can invite your friends." He rode his bicycle. He went and got a picture of Christ. It was a picture of the Sacred Heart. It was kept in the altar, and they did bhajans that evening. After the bhajans, when they went to take aarti, this picture of Christ was filled with vibhuti, and with a finger, the Tamil letter Om was written and a cross drawn over it. So Swami was showing, immadamam samadame, all religions are one and the same. I'll share a couple more. My grandmother was a very devout, very simple, pious lady. So she would do go puja to the mother cow. She believed it's very precious to do this offering. So they said, my mother was sharing how, at that time they didn't think it was a big deal, but now she says, "I can't believe that really happened." Every week after bhajans, at their porch, they had to climb 3 steps into the porch of the home. A pasumada, a huge mother cow, would climb up these 3 steps and wait at the porch. During Mangalarti, after offering it to Swami, my grandmother would come out with the thali and she would offer pasupu kumkum, haldi kumkum, and offer a fruit, and she would take blessings from the cow. This happened for years on, and my mother shares, to this day she cannot fathom how it even happened, where it came from, where it went to after that. You know, Swami says, cultivate the habit of remembering Lord with every breath. Only then, in your final moments, you will thing to call him. And beautifully, Sister April explained that Sai Geeta was such a wonderful devotee. The only devotee to be recognized by the Lord as his devotee is Sai Geeta. He's not a human, he's an animal. My grandparents, and my eldest aunt was handicapped with polio at a very young age. Everybody in the family worried that she would be a burden, but Swami blessed her, and with her pension is what my grandparents ended up living till the end. So all three of them had a wonderful exit from this world. I heard on Radio Sai an interview with the state president of Karnataka, Sri Nagesh Thakappa. There he shares, Swami told him, there are only two things one should ever ask for from God. Only two things one should pray for. Anayasena maranam, vina dainena jivanam. When you're living, you should not depend on anybody else for help. You be self-sufficient. Don't ever put your hands out in front of someone and say, I need help with this. That is the kind of life you should lead. And in passing, you should have such a peaceful exit from this world that you live in peace and those around you are also in peace. And all my grandparents and my eldest aunt received such a wonderful exit from this world. In their final moments, they were only calling on Swami, though they were surrounded by relatives, all of us. Swami's entry in my life was very gradual. There was no one aha moment. It was very gradual. I grew up listening to these amazing stories of these miracles. And I attended Balvika's classes as any child in the Sai family would. And I remember my mother would take me, we used to live in Madras, it's now called Chennai. We used to live in Ananagar. From there I remember on a Sunday changing two buses, public transportation to come to Alvarpet. That is a residence that Swami used to stay in. Remember, I mentioned Sri Venkatamuni's residence. So she said, I want you to attend classes in the same home that I have come and seen Swami. So I used to attend Balvika's classes there. I heard a lot about Swami's love and affection. And I started slowly, the feeling of wanting to be close to Swami and experience that slowly started to build. And not often, but every few years we would go to Parthi to have Swami's darshan, but Swami would visit Chennai, Madras a lot in those years. Got to participate in a few cultural programs. I remember feeling this very, very clearly, very vividly. And Swami would come out for darshan. He gave a whole new meaning to the song, to this Tyagaraja Kriti. Nanu palimpa nadachivachitivo na prana natha nanu palimpa. He says, Saint Tyagaraja says, in order to look after me, have you trekked all this way, O Rama? And I sat there, you know, a few days ago, when I was hearing this kirtan, I was thinking, this is so apt for us, Swami. Growing up in Madras, I too went to a lot of temples, did pradakshinas, put money in the hundi. Somebody makes a prayer, oh, I hope her arm gets better. People used to make these molds and they would offer it in the hundi. I grew up seeing all of this. And here was a God who was walking and coming to you and saying, come, tell me your problems. Give me your letter. Tell me your problems. I will give you gifts. You don't have to give me anything. I'll materialize a chain and give it to you. I'll give you vibhuti. I will heal you. How many of us have received such wonderful gifts from Swami, right? Only Swami can do that. He's the best God there is. I applied. I heard that there was a college there in Anantapur, a women's college. I applied to the 11th grade, intermediate, and I secured admissions. However, after joining Anantapur, it hit me that I would have to stay away from my parents. Now, this may seem very alien to a lot of the young adults here who are thinking, yes, I finished. Now I'm going to go all the way to the other end of the coast. Only see parents for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But I didn't grow up like that. I was very attached to my mom and dad. And when they dropped me off and left, I was a wreck. I was crying in that 1 week. I wrote dozens of letters. My mother remembers seeing these letters blotched with my tears. She was like, I need to go get this girl. So mom and dad came to get me after a week. And I returned back home. But the next 2 years, there was a lot of soul searching. And I kept thinking to myself, I wanted to go there. Nobody forced me. And then I shot myself in the foot. You know, I need to redeem myself. So yet again, I decided to apply for college. But before that, an interesting incident took place. My mother would go for Parthi Seva. The month of May was assigned to Sevadals from Madras, from Tamil Nadu. So my mother would go for a month-long Seva, and that was summer vacation for us. So in 1991, during my 11th holidays, I decided to accompany her. And I went and joined duty as a pre-Sevadal. So my mother got duty in the canteen, and I did security duty in one of the west blocks. So at the end of the month, we were taken to, Swami was in Whitefield at the time, he was not in Parthi. We were taken in buses to have Swami's darshan. Today, when I think back, I'm like, we took it for granted, if we go for Parthi Seva, we'll get Pad Namaskar. It was really taken for granted. Today, when you think back, wow. So we went in these bus loads to have Swami's darshan. And we got there a little late, so everybody was already seated for darshan. The only space that they could give us was right in front of the Kalyana Mandapa in Vrindavan. Those of you who have been here, you can picture it. As Swami comes out from Trai Vrindavan, the Kalyana Mandapa is to your right. So we were seated there. The ladies were seated there. So, and being so excited, this would be my first opportunity to be up close with Swami. As I was doing security duty, I got to interact with a lot of students who had come to give their entrance examinations for that year. I got to hear how, you know, you get all these opportunities with Swami. So, you know, the wish came and I wrote a letter. I didn't even share it with my mom. Just a couple lines saying, Swami, I would like to be your student. Please give me an opportunity. I had that letter with me. I was seated in the front row. So, but just moments before Swami could come out, the Sevadal in charge, that auntie came and said, child, get up, get up. You're not even Sevadal, you're pre-Sevadal. Up, up, up. I can't remember. Maybe I was in a salwar kameez. I cannot remember. But she said, up, up, up. And she had me, she said, go sit in the back. And you know, with Swami, nobody wants to give up their seat, right? I know we talk about service, but when you're right in front of Swami, nobody wants to give up their seat. And I don't blame them. I probably wouldn't either. So I had to go all the way to the back. So from the very front, I was now all the way at the back in front of the door to the Kalyana Mandap. Naturally, I was disappointed. Swami came out for darshan. I saw him from afar. He went, did his darshan rounds, and everybody was expecting Swami to come back the same way. But Swami disappeared. From where we were sitting, we couldn't see him. Minutes ticked by, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. All of a sudden, from where I was seated, there was some commotion in the back, behind me. Imagine this is Swami's door. Imagine this is the door to the Kalyana Mandap. It opens, and Swami's right there, in flesh and blood, 2 feet from me. What had happened was, Swami was looking at some preparations in the Kalyana Mandap and the boys' hostel. So he had entered the boys' hostel. There is a door that connects, Aparna's nodding, there's a door that connects the boys' hostel to the Kalyana Mandap. Swami had come in to look at some arrangements in there. And he decided to come and give Pad Namaskar to the ladies. And he was right there in front. But clearly, we were not ready, right? So the group was hustling, bustling. Swami said, take your time and just line up. I'll come around give Namaskar. I was right there. I got to touch his feet for a good 2 minutes. From being in the very front to be pushed in the back. That was, if there was a defining moment in my relationship with Swami, that was it. So the next 2 years, I was sharing how I joined for intermediate and then got homesick and went back home. So when I wanted to reapply, my father said, I want nothing to do with this. I've been embarrassed once. I'm not doing this again. But my mother, she was very supportive. You know, the biggest wealth she could give me was Swami. As Mirabai sings in her famous kirtan, kharch na kote chor na loote, kharch na kote chor na loote, din din badat savayo payo ji maine ram ratan dhan payo. She says, this is a treasure that will not diminish. The more you spend, the more you get. No thief can take it away from you. So my mother gave me this biggest treasure, and to that I owe her my life. When I joined there for my degree program, same thing, deja vu, it was not even funny, trust me. My mother said, no, you're staying this time, you're going to stick through it. But she did give me this one advice. She reminded me about what Swami shares, Neentane ventane jentane eppudu nanu. I'm always with you, in you, around you, in front of you, watching over you all the time. Like the eyelid protects the eye. She reminded me and she left me. She said, you know, Anu, you're crying for me as a mother. You want me with you. But I can respond to you only if I'm within hearing distance, right? If I'm at the ashram gate, I can't hear you calling out to me and I cannot come to your rescue. But Swami is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He can hear your every thought. And He will respond to you instantly. We hear these things in discourses. We go, yeah, we repeat it like a parrot. Intane, ventane, jentane. But do we truly believe it? Yet another defining moment that evening. Swami made an announcement towards the end of summer course. That was towards the end of summer course. And He said, I'm going to distribute saris to all of you. So we were all excited. We lined up. But Swami decided to do something different. He said, I'm not going to walk in between rows and hand you your saris so you can take Pad Namaskar. I will stand in the Trialons. All of you line up and come. And I'll hand you the saris. You take your saris and go back to your respective places. Swami was busy. There were a lot of dignitaries visiting. And He was very busy. It was a tight schedule for Him. I was still a new student. I'm not going to go and question my teacher and say, hey, I want Pad Namaskar. It wasn't done. So we lined up. And in my mind, I'm going, first of all, I love you, Swami. I'm only here for you. I don't want to go away to this college. I want to be with you all the time. At least you can give me a Pad Namaskar and send me away. Now, how could you do this to me? I'm waiting in line. Imagine Swami's over there. Waiting in line, and what I at that time thought was a foolproof plan was when Swami hands me the sari, I will take it and accidentally drop it. And while I pick it up, I will gently touch Swami's feet and nobody would know. Nobody would know, right? And it very subtly, you have to be very smart about these things. Who am I messing with? God? Only God, right? So I had my plan. It was going to work. I was next in line. I collect the sari. Swami hands me the sari. I collect the sari. Swami doesn't let go. He's holding on to the sari. I am holding on to the sari. And to what seemed like minutes, which only lasted a few seconds, He gave me this look. Gotcha. And then I hung my head down sheepishly. I took the sari and I just walked away. And my friends went, Anuradha, you're so lucky. Swami was looking at you. It's like, if only you knew. If only you knew. Who was I trying to fool, right? When I think back now, you know, what a profound lesson He gave me. My mother had just told me that morning, He can hear your every thought. Swami didn't have even a minute to react to what the thought that came to my mind. Spontaneous. That's how our Swami works. I once read somewhere that Swami sent a few students when the super specialty hospital received a lot of new equipment. Swami sent a few boys and said, oh, there is now a heart-lung machine. There is this machine that will check this part. You go get it tested out. So these boys went and then Swami said, but there is no mind-checking machine. Only Satya Sai Baba is the mind-checking machine. He knew what was going through my mind, right? So He sent me with that reassurance to the college. And in Anantapur, you know how they say, Sarva Karma Bhagavat Pritiyartham, do what God will love. Only do what God will love. Do good actions. Help each other out. It was a nice life. It took me a while to get adjusted, but we would look out for each other, truly like sisters would. And the teachers were loving. It was a wonderful stay there. But in my mind, all I could think of was Swami. You know, getting this degree was just an excuse. Swami is all I wanted. We went away to college in the month of May. My birthday fell in July. So there was this habit that if we are in Parthi and there's a festival coming up and we go to Parthi, those who celebrate their birthdays within that week or the few days, you can be seated in the front to take blessings from Swami. So since my birthday was coming up, I got an opportunity to sit with a tray of chocolates and I was sitting right there in the front row with a tray of chocolates. Swami came for darshan. He picked up these chocolates and He threw it. He blessed with Akshantalu. And then He looked at me and the girl sitting next to me. And then He looked at me again and He said, Appa ma vandirkala, good morning, Sol. And He said it in the same slang that we speak in our home. Appa ma vandirkala, good morning, Sol. It means, oh, so your mom and dad have come. Wish them good morning from me. It's like, why? What the Swami saying? But nice, He talked to me. I'm just happy. We leave after the darshan. As I'm exiting through the mandir exit, my parents are standing there by the coconut tree with their bags and bag. They had just arrived from Chennai to surprise me, knowing how homesick I was. They decided to come and surprise me for my birthday. They knew we'd be coming there. This relationship Swami shared with each student is a customized relationship. Imagine a mother who has several children and each child says, I need my lemonade in a yellow cup. And the other one says, I need it in a green cup. Swami is that mother who pours the same lemonade, which is the same teachings, in these different colored cups and offers it to the child and appeases that child. That is how he conveyed our lessons. If you ask Aparna, Swami would have given her the same lesson in a completely different way. To me, it was this way. He had to work with me this way. It used to become a joke in the campus, at least those few close friends I had, they knew. Every visit, if I had an opportunity to sit in the front, Swami would come and ask about my husband. Like I said, I was like 17, 18 years old. And I remember the very first time he said, "Where is your husband?" I gave him that, "Swami?" I said, "Swami." He said, "That boy." Like I knew who this boy was supposed to be. I was heartbroken. I cried. I had all my teachers around me. I started crying. And one of the akkas who used to work in the admin section, Sai Lakshmi Akka, she pulled me aside after darshan and she said, "You know, this is such a wonderful sambhashan opportunity. We say darshanam papanashanam, sambhashanam karma vimochanam, sparshanam karma vimochanam," Swami says, "sankata vimochanam." And Swami gave you all three in this visit. He gave you a namaskar, he talked to you, and he touched you when you bent over to take his namaskar. So nothing Swami says is in jest. He said, "Where is your husband?" There is a deep significance to that. I didn't understand it at that time. But several years later, when I watched the movie Bhakta Meera, one of my favorite movies, M.S. Subbalakshmi acted as Bhakta Meera in that movie. There is an incident where she is trying to enter the temples in Vrindavan, and the followers of this celibate guru stops her and says, "No, our guru has taken a vow that he will never see any women, so you cannot come in." And she says, "Oh, I thought Giridhara Gopala was the only Paramapurusha in this world, and we are all women waiting to be united with him." And then this guru hears that, he comes out and he offers her Vigraham, a statue of Krishna, and says, "Mother, you are indeed the truest devotee." So it's later that I connected the dots, and I could have said a lot of things. I just said Swami when Swami said, "Where is your husband?" So I feel happy. I'm proud. I'm proud of myself. Talking about MS Amma, I'm reminded of another incident. In the year 1994, I think it was, there was a cultural festival arranged in Parthi. It was called Spirit of Unity Concerts. Several great artists from all parts of the country came and gave performances, and Swami would reward them the next day with gifts, precious gifts. So M.S. Amma had given a performance the night before. The next morning, she was seated for darshan. I happened to be in the student block at that time. And I got to see where exactly she was sitting. I was in the aisle, not in the front row. That afternoon, before we came for darshan, our warden had come, and she said, she came into the dormitory and she said, "You know, Swami had asked me to make this announcement. He's very busy, so he doesn't want us to slow him down by offering him letters. So hold off on your letters for a few days till the festival season ends." I had a habit of always carrying a book, the darshan line, always carrying a book. It would be the Satcharita or another book, A Loving God, which is my favorite book in the world. And I would always keep a handkerchief for Swami and a letter. Now, in my letters, I never wrote, "Swami, I need this, I need that." All I would write was, "Dearest and most beloved Sai Ma, bless me with your grace and love. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu." At that time, Swami hadn't made the announcement, "Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu," in case you're wondering. So this is all I would write, and I would keep this letter. Swami has taken several letters, dozens of letters. So I had that letter with me. So when warden announced, I was like, "What am I going to do? You know, no harm, no foul. I'm not going to offer it to him. I'll keep it in my book." So I carried it with me for darshan. Swami comes out for darshan. He goes straight, makes a beeline to M.S. Amma, whom we all know as Kali Yuga Meera. He goes up to her, materializes vibhuti. She receives the vibhuti. Swami doesn't wait to wipe his hands. He walks straight, marches straight to where I'm seated. And he says, So I had the presence of mind to offer the handkerchief. Swami wiped it. He threw it back at me. He said, Now I was confused. I gave him the blank, look. And so I pointed to the book. Then I realized he was asking for that letter. So my hands were shaking. I took out that letter and gave it to Swami. And Swami seemed happy. And he turned all the way around. In this entire student block, he only came up to me, took this letter and went around. I became famous that day, quickly, instantly. No, I'm kidding. No. There is this song that is very close to the heart of every Anantapur student. It goes like this. O ma Sai Ma, tu kitni achhi hai, tu kitni bholi hai, pyari pyari hai. O ma, O ma, O ma. Jai Ma. Swami has given us many opportunities to sing that song to Him, but this is the closest to my heart. It was summer of 1994, if I remember correctly. And Swami was in Vrindavan that year for Guru Purnima. He's usually, that time of the year, he's in Parthi. But we hadn't been to see Swami for a long time. There was a long gap. Swami sent for us and He said, all the campuses can come here to Vrindavan for Guru Purnima. However, the day we were scheduled to travel, there were some political disturbances and no public transportation was available. We couldn't have taken a train. We couldn't have taken KSRCT buses, none of that. APSRCTC, no, we couldn't have done that. Swami came to our rescue. He sent private buses. He sent 10 buses. And in each bus, He sent a security guard for us. That's the love of the mother, right? And when we arrived, He made arrangements for our stay. He made sure we were comfortable. And He said, I want a music program in the evening. Everybody was running helter-skelter. We didn't come prepared with the program. The girls were running to the boys' hostel, getting instruments, figuring out what songs we were to sing. And Swami said, sing Oma, that song Oma. There wasn't a better opportunity to sing that song for Swami. We sang our hearts out to Swami that year. Another time when we sang it to Swami in our final year's interview, there was a tradition that just before you leave the portals of the institute, we would go and pray to Swami and He would call us inside the mandir and speak to us, give us a few words of advice. And during my batch, we got to sing this song to Swami. And we sang our hearts out. And towards the end, He was distributing gifts. He gave biscuits. And we said, thank you, Swami. And He said, ippude kada amma annaru, thanks cheptunnare. Will you thank your mother and father? He said, you just sang O Ma and called me your mother. And you're thanking me for giving you biscuits. Is it not my duty? A junior to me from the Anandapur campus who lives in Atlanta now, she shared another beautiful story. This song had been sung so many times. You know, sometimes I'm sure the younger girls, you can agree with me. When you sometimes repeat the same song, it gets boring. The same audience is listening to the same song. How many times can someone listen to Madhura Mohana, right? So they decided they'd picked nice list of fresh songs for Swami, and this song wasn't in their lineup. But Swami said, Oma Bataleda, He asked, you're not singing that song? And our warden, who had a very keen eye and a sharp sense, she'd always wait, her antennas are out waiting to see what is it Swami wants. He said, children, sing Oma. And there was no talking back to Jayama Madam. So the girls started singing the song. But since they had not practiced it, even though everybody knew this song, they managed with the lyrics. But as they were singing, they went out of beat. And Swami's a stickler for these things. He's a stickler for perfection. So when Swami, it didn't miss Swami's eye. He noticed, and Swami was keeping beat throughout the song. And He helped them complete it. Not only that, He turned to some of the elders and said, Chusara, na pillalu enta baga paadutunnaru. He makes you sing. And He says, look how beautifully my girls sing. It had been a few years and Swami hadn't visited the campus. During my stay, the 3 years that I was there, 92 to 95, Swami did not visit the campus, so we had to go see Him in Parthi. This was shared by another senior. It didn't happen during my time there. And apparently our warden was telling Swami, you should come to the campus. It's been so long. Please come to the campus. And Swami said, oh, nah. Then she said, Swami, our girls are so disciplined. Unlike the boys, they just run when they see you. Our girls are not like that, Swami. They follow discipline. You know, Swami, in Anandapur, even a male mosquito cannot enter the Anandapur campus. The girls are so disciplined. Swami said, Andike, I'm not coming. Even a male mosquito cannot come into the campus. How can I come? This is another beautiful incident that was shared by a senior, one of our teachers, who used to be a teacher who now lives in Florida. She shared this with a few of us a couple years ago when we got together for an alumni retreat in Region 3. And she said, Ganesh Chaturthi was coming up and the Anandapur students were excited and thinking Swami's going to invite us to join Him for the festival. But Swami sent word and said, no, this year, don't come for Ganesh Chaturthi. I will come and see you. So the girls were excited. The hostel was being prepared. The rooms were being cleaned. The mandir, the prayer room was being prepared and the dining hall. Everybody was so excited to receive Swami. It's like a festival. With Swami, it is Nitya Kalyanam Pachaturanam. Every day is a festival. You want to celebrate it with Him. So Swami arrived with His guests, but Swami arrived with a beautiful Ganesha statue, is what Madam tells us. And He said, look, everyone is coming to Prashanthi Nilayam to celebrate Ganesh Chaturthi, but Ganesha has come here to give you all darshan. this year for Ganesh Chaturthi. You don't have to come there. Offer your puja to this Ganesha. He'll be your brother and he'll protect over you. If you notice, Ganesh Chaturthi and Raksha Bandhan fall very closely. It's like a day, or sometimes it's the same day, or 1 or 2 days. So how beautiful, right? It's no coincidence. It's only coincidences with Swami. That reminds me, on our drive here, Aparna and I were talking, and we were talking about the satsang, and I was sharing how blessed I feel. I was just soaking it all in. And there was a card that passed, and it says, have hope, be hope, give hope. I think it said G-V-H-O-P-E with a heart. Like give blood, like that, give hope with a heart. There are no coincidences with Swami. So I finished my undergrad there in Anantapur campus, and now I became an ex-student. The group of alumni, the women alumni, we are called Messengers of Satya Sai. And we would celebrate that Alumni Day on Christmas Day. During one of those meetings, our president of our organization, she made an announcement and she said, Swami is the founder of the Messengers of Satya Sai. Swami corrected her. He said, Swami is the father of the Messengers of Satya Sai. He permitted the ex-students to do security duty. And if you think about it, what security can we provide to the Lord of Universe, right? There was a discourse that Kasturiji was translating for Swami, where Swami said, "E prapanchame na illu," and Kasturi uncle translated it as, "This world is my mansion." And he was feeling so good that he used a word like mansion and not a house. He was patting himself on the back. And Swami said, "Mm-mm, tappu. This world kadu. This universe, this cosmos is my mansion," Swami said. That Swami, who's the master of the universe, took time to come and talk to each of us, ask us about our problems. And we tell him, Swami, my son is not getting married. I've been looking at so many prospective brides. And he tells you, no, do this, do that. Don't buy this house, buy that house. Paint your house this color, not this color. I heard in a recent talk or an interview on Radio Sai, where a few boys who are called waiting boys, they finished their studies and they're waiting for Swami to tell them what to do. Swami was ignoring them for many days. Finally, when Swami came up to them, one of the boys said, Swami, you know, it's okay if you don't give us a job or tell us what to do, but come talk to us every day. That's all we want. And Swami said, Emra, nakem verem panileda, you think I have no other world? Enni lokalu chusukovalira, how many universes do I need to look after? How many worlds? When we sing Samasta Loka Sukhinobandhu, we take it for granted. All worlds, he's looking after all of those worlds, and he still has time for you and me and for your brother and sister. As an ex-student, when I was doing security duty, it's pretty much crowd control, like a sevadal. You're sitting in front, but you cannot go up to Swami and say, Swami, I have an issue, take my letter. We are wearing our scarves and we are doing security duty. One time, my mother and I had a conversation just before I went in to do duty, and she made a statement in jest. She said somebody has came. I immediately corrected her, you know. No, Amma, it's not has came. It's grammatically wrong. You have to say has come. Somebody has come. She's like, oh, it's okay. I go, nothing happened. It's a casual conversation between a mother and a daughter. Would you make anything out of this? No, not our Swami. So I'm doing security duty. I'm in the fifth block in Sai Ramesh Hall. Swami's car passes. There's a few Sevadal volunteers waiting for Namaskar. Swami says, Apa, Apa, I can see him through the door. He says, stop, stop. He makes the driver stop the car. He gets down. He doesn't even wait for the attendant to come and open the door. And he walks up to me. And he says, husband has came. You know, when Swami makes a deliberate mistake, there's a lesson. So two lessons in one. That afternoon, I had no mind to do security duty. That morning, it was one of those Akhand Bhajan days. I was like, I'm bored. She's giving me the same duty. And my mother said, everything happens for a reason. So that came true. And another lesson, of course, was don't question your mother. Mother is always right. He was a stickler for that. He said, if you can't, you call me, you know, you just say, write in your letters, 1,000 mothers. Swami, you have the love of 1,000 mothers. And Swami says, you cannot understand and appreciate the love of one mother. Where are you going to understand my love? In the days leading to Swami's 75th birthday, it was the year 2000, I was already married and living here with my husband in Kansas City at that time. So I had gone to Parthi, and this is before I even started doing security duty. I was seated with the old students that day. And Swami had made an announcement that he was going to distribute saris. He was in a very generous mood. You know, usually he says, the hospital staff, I'll give you saris. The Anantapur students, I'll give you saris. He said, I'm going to just give saris. He was in a giving mood, very giving mood. Swami came for darshan, and there were boys following him with different saris. Usually when he gives saris to, say, a group of students, it's a uniform sari. It's the same sari. If it's to the hospital staff, it's the same sari. But I saw students coming in with different types of saris. I have to take you back a few minutes. My mother, you know, I'm over 40 and she's 73. To this day, she tells me, like today before this trip, which sari are you taking to wear for the program? She was picking out the sari for me. She was picking out the bindi I should wear. So she made a comment in jest. She said, she saw a lady pass by and she said, you know, Anu, you should wear kapi kotta color checkered sari. So it's the color of dark coffee beans, a checkered print and a sari. And remember, this is casual conversation between a mother and daughter near the ice cream parlor. And I tell her, Ma, of all colors in the world, kapi kotta color, why can't you pick something like green and pink? Something that a 20-year-old, 20-something would wear. That's for old ladies. No offense if any young girls are wearing that color. So I say this. She's like, no, but I want to see you in this sari. You know, that's how mothers are. They want to always see their daughters dressed up. So now come back to Swami coming to distribute saris. I'm in the second or third row in the old students' block. This boy is standing with a bunch of saris. Swami's just taking it from the top. You know, each sari, he distributes it randomly. And he picks a green and pink sari. He leans over to give it to me. And he leans over hard. I can see his nostrils. He's leaning over. And he's handing it to a girl all the way in the back. And he looks at me and he smiles. And then he goes back to the pile. He does this. In the bottom, there's a sari. No prize for guessing. What color was that? It was a brown checkered sari. He gives it to me. And he walks off nonchalantly. And again, the girls go, oh, Swami really selected the sari. He didn't just pick one from me. Like, yeah. Remember how I mentioned as an SSC student, I got to participate in a lot of programs and Swami came to Madras. There was one year in the late 80s, I was asked to offer a roast to Swami. But due to several reasons, somebody else was chosen. I was disappointed, but I got over it fast because I was a young girl. But with Swami, you know, his delays are not his denials. In the year 1995, the Christmas of 1995, I was seated in the old students' block and the old students had made a cake for Swami to cut on Christmas Day. Since I happened to be seated in the front, I got an opportunity to offer the knife to Swami. When Swami came for darshan, you know how there's a sharp end to the knife and then there's this other end which is decorated? I offered it like this, like I was holding the nice decorated sharp end, the blunt end, and offering the sharp end to Swami. Swami put his hand around and collected it. He cut the cake. He didn't say anything, but when he handed it back to me, he turned it around gently. And like he was drawing my attention to the fact, look how I'm returning it to you. And he returned it to me. You know, he could have called me out. I was surrounded by my teachers. He could have said, Idena, is this what you have learned in 3 years? He could have said that. And he's done that to many people. But had he done that, he would have lost my trust. Right? In a very loving way. That's something we all have to learn from Swami. Whether it's correcting an SSC child or correcting anyone, we are quick to jump and say, you're wrong. This is the way to do it. Swami did it so lovingly. Swami never tells us to follow something that he himself doesn't follow. So lovingly he drove that lesson in me. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, there's a nama that says, Avyaja Karunamurti. The mother showers her love for no apparent reason. She just wants to shower her love. That is so true with our Swami. And a devotee once said to Swami, Swami, inta shrama teeskunnaru. You are taking so much trouble to give us all these things. Swami said, Bangaru idi shrama kadu prema. This is not trouble. I'm doing it out of love. When are we going to start feeling we want to do something out of love? Not because we have to be at Narayan Seva by a certain time. We have to do this. Your slot is this. You need to do it at this time. When are we going to start doing it out of love? The time is now. It was not all hunky-dory. I went through the kick curve as well as many of you here. Now Swami says, Prarabdha karma is something you have to face head on. If you have to face it, you have to face it. He says, Puttina bada povalante, pittina bada pattali. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with these blows and face it head on. When he calls you Bangaru, you know, you can be happy, but you should also think, am I going to have these moments where the gold is being heated in the fire? So, in the summer of 1993, I had just finished my first year in Anantapur, and I was so filled with Swami's love, right? So when I went back home for vacation, summer vacation, I told Mom, I was wanting to stalk Swami. You know, I said, Swami's in Kodaikanal, let's go to Kodaikanal and have Swami's darshan. You know, as a student, very few students will be there, get wonderful opportunities with Swami. You know, in Tamil we say, Tigattada inippu. When you eat, you can eat, Rasmalai could be your favorite sweet. You can have 5, 10, 15, 20. You can't have any more than that. But with Swami, you see the same devotee sitting in the first line always, don't you? They don't seem to be sick of having Swami's darshan. Right? Aravamudam, that's what he is. You want to keep seeing him, you want to keep seeing him. So I had that, I had Swami madness. So nobody else in the family understood. But my mom, since she went through it herself in the 60s, she said, yes, I'm with you. She's the rock in the family. She said, I'm with you. And we decided to make a trip to Kodai. Long story short, on the way, a lot of mysterious things happened with Swami. He gives you these signs and you don't pick up on it, you've missed the bus. So on the way, our car met with an accident. And I was the only person injured. I had a multiple fracture in my right pelvic bone. And I remember even yesterday, a couple days before I left, my mother was sharing, you know, I didn't have that faith in Swami, she says. Apparently I told her, and I don't have a recollection of this. I couldn't even move. I was seated like this. If I moved an inch, it hurt. Apparently I told her, you know, Amma, I'm a student. I've had an accident. If I go there, definitely we'll get an interview. That's how crazy I was. It doesn't work like that, by the way. So I said, let's go. But she was very nervous, you know. She was here with me, all alone, a lady in the middle of nowhere, in a town called Dindigul, which is not even a big town. In the middle of nowhere, it was a bypass curve, a bus hit our car, actually. But miraculously, there was blood. But no, I wasn't bleeding anywhere. There was blood in my kurti. A lot of mysterious things happened, but I did end up going to a local hospital. My mother said, no, I can't take that chance. I'm answerable to Dad. I'm answerable to everybody. You're not even 20. You know, I'm answerable. I cannot do this. And she took me to the hospital. So when I was lying in that hospital bed, that's when the light bulb went off. This was the April of 1993. The previous fall, in October, my mother had visited Parthi, but some other group from Tamil Nadu was doing seva there. I think it was a Kodaikanal group that was doing sevadal duty. So she talked to Rani Aunty and she said, can I do seva? She said, if you have your badge, for sure. My mother was doing seva. So at the end of the two week long period, she got to also sit for Pad Namaskar. And my mother had several letters that family and friends had given. And sometimes when the devotees know you're getting up to go for Pad Namaskar, they give you, please, can you take this letter? Can you offer it to Swami? And my mother had all these letters. She had a tray of chocolates for Swami to bless. And my mother would always pick the corner of the end because you have to Swami for a little longer as he's walking around. So she would pick that corner and she was sitting there with this tray and she had a bunch of letters with her. When Swami was walking around giving darshan, he accepted her letters, blessed her, blessed the chocolates, threw the toffees. He took the bunch of letters, but there was one he took out and returned back to her. He looked at her, gave it back to her and said, Pettuko. Swami gave you something and said, keep it. Pettuko means keep it. She just kept it. Swami gave her a nice deep look. And he moved on. So after my mother brought it home, I was still in the hostel at that time, oblivious to all of this. After coming home, she kept it in the altar. She couldn't find the lady who had given her this letter. This was actually not a letter. It was a painting. It was an envelope. A painting of Swami. Just a full-length picture of Swami. A color painting, watercolor painting. So she couldn't find the person. She said, Swami gave it to me, so I'm going to keep it with me. She brought it back home. She kept it in the altar. A few days later, when she was looking at it, she realized it was actually an envelope. It was not just a sheet of paper. She opened it. You know, it was with her. She was hoping it wasn't a personal letter. She opened it. Inside was another painting. And that was a painting of a girl in a white sari, a young woman. You could tell from the way the painting was drawn, lying in a hospital bed. And Swami, there's a picture of Swami showing his Abhaya Hasta. I have that picture with me at home. Swami is showing his Abhaya Hasta and the rays are falling right at the area where I was hurt. So I remembered, I said, Amma, do you remember that painting? And then we realized Swami had hinted to us months before this incident ever happened. This is something you have to face, but with my grace, You will get through this. So I went through, you know, I went through a surgery. It was a long story, but it was painful, and summer course had begun. And I couldn't go because my doctor wouldn't release me. He said, no, you're in no shape to travel. I cannot discharge you. Swami came in a lot of dreams. I was reading a lot of Satcharita. This was before the Tapovanam days. So I was reading Satcharita, doing multiple Parayanams. Aparna, you may remember, you visited me with uncle. I was reading Satcharita a lot. Swami came in my dreams. And in one dream, he said, I was crying, Swami, I want to come for summer course. And he said, yes, you will come, but only for the last 2 days. Now, the letter we had received, it said summer course is going to end on this day. And I was still lying in the hospital bed in Chennai on that last day. So I was telling my mom, you know, you say Swami Mata, Satya Mata, you know, Swami only speaks the truth. If he said come for summer course for the last 2 days, how can I be lying in this bed? She says, Swami, it'll come true, it'll come true. She kept pacifying me. The doctor came and he decided, fine, I will discharge you today. But you have to take a lot of physical therapy. It's not going to be easy. There are all these things you cannot do. You can't do this and that. You have to be very careful with this and that. He released me that morning, and that evening, against my father's wishes, against the advice of all the elders in the house, my mother and I got on an unreserved bus to Bangalore. And the seats, the only seats that were available was at the very back. Imagine, recovering from a pelvic surgery, just the doctors just discharge you. And if you've ridden a bus, you know how fun it is to ride in the back. The Mamba and Six Flags comes nothing close to that. So I made it. I reached Thrai Vrindavan. As I'm entering the ashram gates, an ex-student passed by. She said, Anu, you've come only now. I said, Akka, summer course over. Anandpur girls have left. She says, no, this year Swami extended the summer course by 2 days. And I got to attend those last 2 days of the summer course. But, you know, just because you're a student or you're close to Swami, you're not immune to these difficulties. They come to everybody. You're human like everybody else. It's how you deal with it. It's with Swami's grace, 1,000 blows feel like 10 blows. He allows you to handle it better. He helps you be mature about it. And His grace acts like the morphine there. It's the painkiller there. And I experienced it firsthand those few days. So I brought this painting with me. But this time I wanted to offer it to Swami, not the envelope outside with just his drawing. I wanted to show the drawing inside of this girl lying, and I was angry. You know, I was naive. I was in my upper, but I was 21 that time. I said, look, I wanted to give it to Swami and say, look what you did to me. Look what you made me go through. Swami came for darshan. I couldn't sit in the, it was very late, so I couldn't sit in the very front. I was in the second or third row. I had trouble even sitting on the floor. Now, if there are some doctors here, you'll know. You'd probably say, don't sit on the floor, period. I was sitting on the floor. And when Swami came, I stretched this letter out, this envelope out, and I was crying and I was angry. Swami takes it, he looks at it, and he leans over, gives it back to me, and he says, Theek hai. Theek hai, the exact translation is, you are fine, or this is fine. Pay attention, he didn't say, Theek ho gaya, like you're all right. Theek ho jayegi, you will be all right. He said it in present tense. Theek hai. It wasn't until many years later. So I carried this with me thinking, I was actually a little bit bitter. Swami, the least you could do was acknowledge that I went through this and say, oh, bangaru paapam ida inda tisko. None of that. You just said theek hai and walked away. Like you didn't care. Several years later, I heard Brother Sundarayar speak at a retreat at a private satsang in St. Louis, and there he shared his very famous snake bite incident. I'm not going to bore you with it. Most of you have heard it. In a nutshell, Swami tells him, if I had told you, yes, it was a snake bite, it would have been a snake bite, and I only speak the truth. So I wasn't going to say that. I said, it's a thorn, it's a thorn, it's a thorn. It became a thorn at that moment. So then the light bulb went off, and I said, Swami didn't acknowledge it because whatever had happened, he had made it nothing. So I'm standing here, I have a healthy life, I have nothing to complain about, and it was only Swami's grace. You know, Kasturi uncle, he says, Swami's every word is a mantra. Every line an Upanishad, every discourse an Upanishad. It's very true. When he said, Theek hai, he had sealed my fate at that moment right there. And Swami says, with my anugraha, the navagrahas cannot affect you. So when I go to temples and I see people going around the Navagraha doing, Sani Bhagwan, I'll offer sesame seeds oil to you. I think about Swami's grace, why? Just go to him. He'll take care of everything. This happened after I graduated from the portals of the institute. My father, he started believing in numerology a lot. And a numerologist had told him, you know, your daughter's name is Anuradha. It adds up to 8 letters. 8 is not a lucky number. This is exact words he used. I was doing security duty at the time. And he had told my father, no, she needs to change her spelling. Maybe add an extra U or make it 2 O's, extra A. Make it 9 letters. 9 is a divine number. You just have to change the spelling. And he actually changed his spelling. It was Narayana Swami. He made it S. S Narayana Swami. He made it SN Swami. My brother was Ishwar. Apparently, he said, no, it ends with war. He will always be in trouble. So his name was changed to Ishwaran. I said, I believe in Swami. I don't want any of this. I wasn't ready to change my name. He told me about this very casual conversation. I said, no, Appa, no, I don't believe in all of this. Swami is there. He'll take care. I was doing security duty. There was a lady seated next to me, who apparently only spoke Telugu. Swami came up to her in the darshan line, and Swami looks at her and says, "Ever chepparu 8 lucky number ledani? 8 lucky number, eh?" He said, who said 8 is not a lucky number? 8 is a lucky number." And that lady had no idea what Swami was talking about. So I think she didn't know Telugu. And she asked me, what did Swami say? All Swami's right there in front. And I wait, I'll tell you. Swami passed away. And it still, doesn't strike me. And I'm translating to her. You know, Swami said, 8 is a lucky number. She's like, oh, okay. She didn't understand where this was coming from. And then I realized it was a sambhashan opportunity for her. Swami wanted to talk to her. But the message was for me. So with Swami, you know, his planning is so beautiful. He's very efficient. He takes care of many things in one stroke, the brilliant master stroke. He was giving me my message, saying, yes, I know what happened, you have my grace. And this lady was probably praying for an opportunity for Swami to interact with her. He gave her that as well. Needless to say, I didn't change the spelling of my name. Another song that you may have heard a lot of students sing to Swami is, Tu pyar ka sagar hai. Tu pyar ka sagar hai, teri ek boond ke pyaase hum. So once a few students were singing the song to Swami, and Professor Sampath, who used to be our vice chancellor during my time as a student, he told Swami, Swami, your love is that of the ocean. You know, you're an ocean of love. And Swami said, true, the ocean is deep and it's vast, but the ocean still has boundaries. My love has no boundaries. That is Swami's love. How can we ever repay this debt to Swami, right? And again, talking about debt, Swami once told a devotee, he says, Swami, I'm indebted to you. How am I ever going to repay this debt? And Swami tells him, no, this is not a debt you want to repay. If you do, you go your way, I go my way. Our relationship has been continuing for ages, and it should continue for ages. You don't want us to go our separate ways. There's this beautiful song that many of you may have heard Kavita Krishnamurti sing. It's on Mother Isharama, who's the epitome of motherhood, right? On Ladies' Day, how can we not think about her? She sings, Ho gaye hum to rini sahi ke itna diya hai pyar. I'm sure everyone in this audience has felt that love, that you are indebted to Swami for his love. I want to talk a little bit about pining for God. My first moment of pining came when I was waiting with that letter, thinking, Swami, please give me a seat in your college. And when I received news of Swami's Mahasamadhi, it was not our time Saturday night here. I had gone to bed early that day. For being a night owl, that was the only night I decided to go to bed early, because that day I was very busy with helping out with Chandi Homam. One of the devotees in Atlanta had arranged Chandi Homam in the Hindu temple of Atlanta for Swami. So I was helping with a lot of those arrangements, and I was very tired. I went to bed when my mother was trying to call from India. I was out. So by the time I woke up in the morning, a friend, who was not even a Sai devotee, who called to apologize, said, I mean, to express his condolences. He said, I'm very sorry I heard the news. I said, sorry about what? All of us kept hoping against hope that Swami would come back to us, right? So when I heard the news, I was devastated. I went up to the puja room. I kept all the gifts that Swami had ever given me, all the saris, all the handkerchiefs. And I was crying my heart out to Swami. My children had a test. They were taking private Tamil lessons. So they had an exam that morning. So my husband came, being the practical man that he is. He saw me in a pool of tears. He said, you know, Anu, life goes on. The children have an exam. Do you want me to just take them? for the exam. I said, I didn't want to be home alone grieving. No, you can't do that. I said, take me with you. We'll drop the children at the Tamil school. And there's a beautiful Shirdi temple very close to our house. It's just 5 miles from our house. I said, take me there. I just want to, you know, I don't want to be by myself. Just take me to the temple. So he took me to this temple. And as luck would have it, this Sunday morning, it was around 9 in the morning. There was not a soul. There was just the priest who knew I was a Satya Sai Baba devotee, because that previous Thursday, I had never done that in my life, but that previous Thursday, I decided to go there and do an archana on Swami's name, and I gave Swami's gotra, nakshatra, everything. So he remembered. And he didn't ask any questions. He was sitting in his corner. It was just me sitting in front of the padukas, and I was crying. For what to me seemed like forever, I was crying. And at some point there, I guess it was very sincere, it came from the right place, I could hear Swami and feel Swami. This is a term many of us use very loosely these days. I could feel Swami, I could feel the brush of his robe, and I could smell him, that divine fragrance. And Swami said, and like he was talking to a little child, he said, see, you have to imagine, like most of you, I felt like I'd been orphaned. I'd felt like I'd lost my mom, dad, everybody who's ever close to me. And Swami said, why are you crying? I have not gone anywhere. I'm right here with you. And that was enough. From the bucket of tears, it's like a faucet was just closed. A switch had been pressed and I stopped crying. There was just emptiness. Just moments before that, I had told my husband, I was scheduled to teach SSE that afternoon, the group 2 class, and I said, I'm in no shape, please text Ravindra and say, I cannot do this. So my husband did that. So after this experience, I felt so rejuvenated, like I felt so uplifted, like, hey, Swami took the time on a day where millions are crying out to him. He took the time to come to me and reassure me that he's with me. I'm sure all of you have your own experiences from that day or the night before. So I stepped out of the temple and I told my husband, I called the SSC coordinator and said, yes, I'll take the class. He said, are you sure? No, I'm sorry, yes, I'll teach the class. So I went into the SSC class that day, and everybody was sad, but group 2, you know, these are young, innocent children. They are looking to hear something from you that will uplift them. So I said, what do you want to talk about? He said, auntie, you've been Swami's student, tell us some stories. I said, fine, I'll tell you all the stories where Swami poked fun of me. And I was sharing these stories and the kids were breaking into laughter. And everybody outside went, this is not really the appropriate moment to be laughing. What is this lady doing in the class? But everybody left that classroom, all those students and me included, we left that room feeling, Swami's not gone anywhere, he's with you. You know, he's with you all the time, omnipresent, hearing every thought. So that's an experience I wanted to share today. And we're talking about pining, the year of our convocation, 1995. December of 1995, November 22nd is the convocation day. It was granted, taken for granted that Swami would distribute saris to the outgoing batch of students, the girls. But Swami hadn't said anything about a sari that day, and convocation was scheduled for that afternoon, November 22nd. And as of that morning, Swami was ignoring us, and we thought Swami's angry. You know, Swami says, I'm not Vishwamitra, the angry sage, I'm Vishwas Mitra. His play of words, right? I'm the friend to this world, this entire Vishwam. I'm the friend to this world. And Swami seemed to be ignoring us, but we requested, I was one of the troublemakers who went and requested Shauri Aunty, please allow us to sit. Swami was staying in Purnachandra Auditorium in those days, in 1995. So I requested, please allow us to sit here and, you know, pray to Swami. We'll chant Gayatri. This is after morning darshan. She said, fine, you can. Most of our teachers, our warden, everybody had left. There was just the outgoing batch of students. We were sitting there praying right under Swami's balcony, Purnachandra Auditorium. We were praying, no word, praying. The prayers are intensifying. When you're really pining for him, when you feel he's ignoring you, your prayers are intensified. You're really calling to him from that deepest corner in your heart, and you're making that connection with him, that positive, negative, that connection happens. Swami comes out from the balcony door, and he says, what happened? Bon chelada, as usual, you know. He tries to ignore like nothing happened. What happened? Didn't go to eat. He says, no, Swami, convocation. Swami, convocation, Chira. He doesn't say anything. He just turns around and the door closes. And we feel, God, you're closing the door on us. You're turning your back on us. And our prayers are intensified. We are not taking no for an answer. We don't want to get up and leave. And slowly we see Swami, you know, there was a little gate, a little narrow aisle Swami had to walk from there, it's right across from Yajur Mandiram. Swami used to stay there and he came through the road and we were excited because we saw a few boys in the back with saris. This was different. They were not all carrying the same type of saris. Usually to students, Swami gives a uniform sari. There were like 6 or 7 different designs. And Swami came up to us and said, which sari? You want like this? He said, Swami, anything you give. No, this is very light. He takes the next one. No. Then he picks a purple sari with silver lines going over it. He says, this will be beautiful for my girls, my children. And he gave us those saris. You know, as closing remarks, I'll share a few thoughts. I got to work with the SSC children, the Group 3 SSC children last year. And we did, the theme for our program last year was Unity of Faiths. And Group 3 was learning and presenting about Sikhism. So that's when I learned that the Sikhs actually worship the Guru Granth Sahib, which is their holy scripture. They keep that in the altar. They worship that. When are we going to worship Satya Sai speaks and Swami's teachings as our living God? And not run here and there and get distracted with all that's going on around us. When is that day going to happen? It has to be now. It has to be today, this moment. A student was once getting ready to give a speech and he wanted to quote Shakespeare from Macbeth or Hamlet, I can't remember. And he wanted to say, to be or not to be. And Swami stopped him. He said, talk about how to be and how not to be. As Sai devotees, people are looking to us to be his messengers. So how to be, how we conduct ourselves is very important. This reminds me of an incident that a senior student of mine shared with me, a senior Anandpur student shared with me. She said in her batch there was a girl whose name was Sita Mahalakshmi. What a beautiful name, right? Sita, look at the virtues Sita embodies and Mahalakshmi. So her parents had started to look for a match for her and she was still a student, a second year student. When Swami visited Anandpur campus, she was trying to draw Swami's attention and say, Swami, they're looking to get me married. I need your blessings. She was desperately trying to get Swami's attention and Swami wouldn't give her the time of day. When she kept going to him again and again, Swami said, you want a husband like Rama, but do you have the qualities of Sita? This is something for all of us to reflect upon, right? Today's ladies, today as women, we have so many expectations from those around us. How should our SSC students behave? How should the SSC coordinator behave with me? How should the officer treat me? How are you treating them? How are you behaving? It's for each of us to take home that lesson. My husband is a wonderful man. Unlike me, he doesn't need these reassurances from Swami. He says, I know Swami's God. He knows everything. He has a plan. There was only one dream I had in all my years where my husband also was in that dream. And in that dream, Swami comes up to him and says, what is that in your pocket? And he says, Swami, these are notes from your discourse, important notes from your discourse. And Swami tells him, so not everything I say is important, huh? You only make notes of some things that you select as important. If we look back, you know, all of us tend to do that, right? Maybe we are never meat eaters. We are happy to say, I've never eaten meat in my life. I'm a Satya Sai devotee. But I get angry for it at the drop of a hat. I'm not going to fix that. That's too hard. So we cannot pick and choose. This is not a buffet where you pick and choose what you like. If we call ourselves Sai devotees, if you want Swami to call, there is a reason Swami didn't call a single human being his true devotee. We are all work in progress yet. I'll conclude with a prayer, a song of prayer. I was told the students once asked Swami, Swami, please bless me so I can always be with you. Swami said, Bangaru, that may not be possible. You may not always be with me, but I will bless you that I will always be with you. It's a prayer song in Telugu that I'd like to conclude with. O Sai Kshanam Oke Oka Korika Anudinam Nivo Undalani Matoduga. O Sai, oka korika, ee natikaina aguna, na manasuloni bhavana, na gunde చిరుజల్లుగా నాశవు నాశ్వాసము నాగమ్యము నీవే, నా యోగము నా భాగ్యము నా ధ్యానము నీవే. వేచాము ఎన్నెన్ని జన్మాలు నీ కోసమే, నీ మాటకై పొందాము ఆనందము ఈనాటికే. ఓ సాయిమా, అయినా ఒక కోరిక. ఐ కన్క్లూడ్ బై ప్రేయింగ్ టు స్వామి దట్ హీ బ్లెస్సెస్ అస్ విత్ హిస్ ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్. జై సాయిరాం.
కుటి కమనియా ఎగలే పని ల कुटिक मरिया बहुत ही नाचन जायो यगले बनी लकुटिक मरिया बहुत ही नाचन जायो बहुत ही नाचन जायो सूरदास तब बिघस जसो कंठ लगायो ले बुर कंठ लगायो ले बुर कंठ लगायो मैया मोरी मन की बाखन आयो मैया मोरी मन की बाखन मन की बाखन हायो। कमल चंद बिन रजनी जल बिन कमल चंद बिन रजनी ऐसे तुम देखो बिन सजनी जल बिन कमल चंद बिन रजनी ऐसे तुम देखो बिन सजनी आकुल व्याकुल फिरूं रे न दिन आकुल व्याकुल फिरूं रे न दिन बिरख कले जो खा आकुल व्याकुल फिरूं रे न दिन बिरख कले जो दिवसन भूख नींद नहीं रहना दिवसन भूख नींद नहीं रहना मुख सु कथतना बना मुख सु कथतना बना कहाँ कहूँ कछ कहतना कहाँ कहूँ कछ कहतना तिलकन तपत बुझा तरसावो अंतरयामी क्यों तरसावो अंतरयामी